The House will come to order. Please stand for the flag salute. Good morning, colleagues. The flag salute this morning will be led by Representative Katie Eyre Brewer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. If you would please remain standing, this morning's opening ceremony will be presented by Pastor Lee Wiegand. He is from Canby and a guest of Representative Bill Kinnemer. Welcome.
It's an honor to be here on Oregon's 153rd birthday. It's a good day to have a birthday. My daughter is in a hospital in McMinnville, hoping to give me my first grandchild on this same day. So once I leave here, I'm racing to McMinnville to see if a child is about to be born. In looking into the history, we looked at the original copy of the Oregon Constitution and found some interesting things. In the 1850s, things were a little bit different. It gave the salaries of certain individuals in the state of Oregon. The governor earned $1,500 a year. The Secretary of State, $1,500, the Treasurer, $800, and the Supreme Court Justices, $2,000. Things are a little bit different than they were in the 1850s. Let's pray together as we begin our time. Father, we love you a bunch. And Father, I thank you for these men and women that sacrifice of their time to be able to be here to serve our great state. And Father, it's a great day to be able to remember 153 years of statehood. And Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us over the years in our country. And Father, you tell us that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And when the wicked rule, the people groan. And so, Father, we pray that these people would be righteous. They would make right choices. That's important to us, the citizens of this state. And Father, you also tell us that if any man or any woman lacks wisdom, that we should ask you and you will give it to us. So Father, this morning we ask for great wisdom for them and this session that they're in, that they would make great choices and that they would come together and unified in making the choices that they have to make. And we'll just thank you for doing that, Father. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
Pastor, thank you so much for coming and sharing that prayer and blessing with us. We wish you Godspeed on your travel to see a grandchild born and do appreciate that you would take time to be with us this morning. Further courtesies, Representative Kinnemer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate that. Yes, I ask courtesies be extended to Pastor Wiegand and also to four of his students from the First Baptist Church School in Canby. It's nice to have them with us, and nice to have Pastor Lee back on this day, and as you might tell, he also does some teaching at the school, as he shared a little bit about our history. So, happy Valentine's. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative. Further courtesies, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to extend courtesies to Larry Morandi. He's on the side aisle with us today. Welcome, Larry. Please join me in welcoming Larry, who is here today on the side aisle with us. For those of you who don't know Larry, he is Oregon's connection to NCSL, the National Conference of State Legislators. In addition to being our state primary point of contact, Larry is director of the state member staff that conducts research and policy analysis on children and families, criminal justice, education, energy, environment, health, and transportation issues. So nothing too major there, right, Larry? Larry has worked as Oregon's NCLS connection for more than 20 years, and he has an affinity for the state, having grown up in a lumber and fishing area in Northern California. Before joining NCSL in 1979, Larry served as a research and committee staff in the Colorado and Connecticut General Assemblies, so state legislative work has been near and dear to him for many years. He is here in Oregon for a couple of days visiting with us legislators. If you haven't met him, please take the time to go over and say hello to Larry. Welcome.
Thank you, Representative. Welcome, Larry. Great to have you with us in our chamber today. Further courtesies? Colleagues, as you know, and as Pastor Wiegand mentioned, it is Oregon's birthday today, and for that we can be thankful, and there will be some celebration happening today. We are also told that we have a representative in the body who is celebrating a birthday today, so Representative Val Hoyle, happy birthday from all of us here in the House chamber. Verification of a quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. Representative Gilliam. Representative Gilliam, excused, business of the House. Representative Cowan, excused. Quorum is present. Messages from the Governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed Senate Bills 1503, 1504, 1505, 1525, 1527, 1540, 1544, 1575, adopted SCR 201. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed SM 201.
First readings, memorials, and resolutions.
SCR 201, recognizing and honoring Eugene Police Officer Chris Kilcullen for his service to the state.
Measure read first time is passed to the co-speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 4014 relating to education and declaring emergency. House Bill 4041 relating to taxation of Indian tribe property and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 4045 relating to the public disclosure of concealed handgun license information and declaring an emergency. House Bill 4111 relating to sale of real property to enforce lien for local improvements and declaring an emergency.
Bills read second time or passed to third reading. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 4050 relating to the ocean troll salmon fishery and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4050. Representative Krieger, and before you begin, colleagues, thank you for your time and attention this morning. We'd appreciate your attention to the carrier of the bill. Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 4050 comes to you from the Water and Environment Committee by unanimous vote. And there was no opposition testimony to the bill. House Bill 4050 eliminates the lottery for the ocean troll salmon fishery. This would allow for a reduction in the number of permits that are in that fishery now, which is 1,000. It would require that the transfer be to a vessel within 5 feet of the same length of the transferring vessel and would allow for a small boat fishery to remain over time. Our Salmon Troll Commission supports the bill, as do most of the salmon trollers themselves. Ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Krieger, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Garrett votes aye. Representative Conger, how do you vote? Conger votes aye. Representative Gelzer, how do you vote? Gelzer votes aye. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Off the floor. Excuse business of the House. House Bill 4050, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4150, relating to the Credit Enhancement Fund and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4150. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 4150 is a bill that has come from the House Transportation and Economic Development Committee with a unanimous vote. This bill is about the Credit Enhancement Fund. The Credit Enhancement Fund is a fund that is operated through Business Oregon, which underwrites loans that private investments are making for two businesses. The purpose of this bill is to expand the definition of businesses that would qualify for this program. The program currently is limited to traded sector and distressed area businesses. And as we are coming out of this economic times, we're finding that many counties and areas are coming out of that distressed area definition. So this bill is a temporary bill. It has a sunset on it, and it is designed to keep the momentum going for small business around the whole state. It's very important that we keep this fund available to small business around the state, because as all of us know, jobs are mostly created by small business in this state, and this bill will help leverage the money that banks have available to make to small businesses. It definitely is a jobs bill, colleagues. This puts money in the pockets of businesses after review of the Business Oregon and making a determination on where this money should go to help out and back up the private investment that banks are making in small businesses. Just really, really a well-timed bill. It's going to go very well together with some of our other initiatives that we're bringing forward to the floor as well. As Oregon slowly rebuilds from the recession, this type of investment is absolutely critical. If we don't pass this bill and expand the fund to more businesses, we won't be able to use the monies that are becoming available to us from the federal government for these purposes. That is one of the critical pieces to understand. We have money that's available to us to help small business. And this program, this bill will help us utilize that money to make it available to small businesses across the whole state. Colleagues, I urge an aye vote on this bill, and I'll turn it over to my colleague at the speaker's discretion.
Thank you, Representative. Co-carrier Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the co-carrier from the Emerald Empire. I simply want to amplify some of the things he said. I am fortunate to serve on the Business Development Commission as part of my legislative responsibilities, and we've had the chance to travel around the state and hear from business leaders and community leaders. And one of the things that's very clear is that there is a lot of promise in Oregon, a lot of opportunity that is waiting to happen simply for lack of capital. This bill does an excellent job of connecting capital with job creators. It's very consistent with some of the other bills that are hopefully coming to the floor and hopefully that we'll be able to pass soon. And it does so in a very smart way by using the expertise of the private sector, by connecting that expertise, and as the carrier from the Emerald Empire noted, using the power of leverage. By using a little bit of state money to serve as guarantees, private sector loans can connect with job creators very quickly. It's an approach that is well enough thought of around the country, that we received a significant influx of federal dollars, and we want to make sure that those dollars get connected with job creators as fast as possible. It's also worth noting that this does not represent a turn away from a focus on traded sector businesses. This is a temporary relaxation of that restriction in order to get those jobs and those dollars flowing as quickly as possible. We'll return to our focus on traded sector industries as one of the best ways to use Oregon's competitive advantages in the long run. This is a focused, practical bill that can help create jobs very quickly, and I urge your support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Representative Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question to the carrier, the representative from Emerald City.
Question to the carrier, does the carrier yield?
Yes, he does.
He does.
Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't get this question to you sooner. I just want to confirm, it's my understanding that right now the Credit Enhancement Fund has about 70% of its focus toward traded sector jobs. It's my understanding that that will essentially remain the same, about 70-30. Would that be correct?
I don't know that I can categorically say that that is true. Certainly, Business Oregon is going to look at traded sector industries with a great deal of preference, but it does not mandate that that percentage will stay the same. I think it may change a bit, and I think it really depends on the particular businesses that apply and the risk involved with that particular business and the decisions that the private industry banking system makes in lending money and Business Oregon's evaluation of the jobs that may be produced by an individual loan. So I don't think that that specific target is something that's certain.
Okay, thank you.
Further question?
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I was absent on this voting committee, so it was actually a 7-0-1 vote. I've been teetering on this a little bit, but I have decided to vote for it on the floor today. One primary thing is that I have been told, and it's my understanding, that there will still be a continued focus on traded sector jobs. And I'm also happy to see that this will be a small relaxation. We'll be able to come back and look at this later to make sure that, to reassess it, make sure things are going well. And the purpose of me focusing on traded sector jobs is, let's just again remember that for every one traded sector job in Oregon, there are three non-traded sector jobs. And we need to make sure that we always focus on not hurting traded sector in any way, because they bring other jobs to this state. So I'll be voting for this. I urge your aye vote as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict.
I'm a member of a development company that structures commercial financing and most likely will profit from the passage of this bill.
Thank you, Representative.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, very quickly, I just want to share a thought with you. By expanding the definition of non-traded sector businesses, it's going to allow much greater flexibility in how proceeds can be used, which is tremendously beneficial for rural Eastern Oregon. I compliment the carriers for bringing this bill forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Holvey, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I appreciate the support and, thinking this through, I think this really is a common sense way to help our economy along and encourage businesses that are able to produce more jobs in this state. And for the record, my district encompasses a large area of rural forest lands, farmlands, small communities, and of course parts of the city of Eugene. Long in history, since the early 1900s, it's been known as the Emerald Empire because of the products that have come from this area and not the Emerald City. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer is a yes. Representative Hoyle, how do you vote? Hoyle votes aye. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. House Bill 4150, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final readings, memorials, and resolutions. Chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of SCR 207 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Wednesday, February 15th, 2012 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so moved. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 1503 relating to influenza vaccinations and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1504 relating to health insurance and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1505 relating to civil commitment of Native Americans and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1525 relating to public safety and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1527 relating to crime and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1540 relating to education and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1544 relating to economic development and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1575 relating to disorderly conduct in the second degree and declaring an emergency.
Bills read first time are passed to the co-speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Remonstrances. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've always taken responsibility for my actions and my words and my votes, and I will continue to do so. Yesterday, I was called everything from a bully to a hero, and I had vultures writing horrible, hateful things about me and people saying nice things about me in print as well. I don't care about any of that. I care about one thing, my top priority, getting people back to work in this state, which includes a timber bill and a water bill. That's my number one priority. And with the money that comes out of that, we'll be able to do all this great education and health care stuff that a lot of smart people want to do and I'll support. And if someone in this state feels that their philosophy is inconsistent with mine, then I want them to tell me where we're going to get the money to provide services to the good people of this state. I will continue in this vein as long as we're here. And I hope the majority of the people on this floor and the other floor stay strong, stay resolute, and let's put people back to work in this state. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative. And nothing to do with what people may or may not have said yesterday. Let me just compliment the fine outfit you have on today. You have upped the bar for people on the floor. Nicely done. Further remonstrance, Representative Wand.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, we just now passed on a bipartisan 57-0 vote, a bill that we know will help to create jobs in the state of Oregon. It's not a perfect solution. It doesn't do everything that we need it to do. But it reminded me of the last two Saturdays that I have spent back home with the representative from Gresham, the representative from Clackamas, the representative from Happy Valley, and myself. We stood two Saturdays in a row in different parts of our districts talking with folks on a bipartisan basis. And I can't tell you how well received we were. People were looking at us disagreeing honestly and with integrity. They were looking at us agreeing with each other with an equal amount of honesty and integrity. And they looked at all four of us, two from each party, standing up for working families in Oregon, standing up for the types of bills that will help to create jobs and will help to rebuild our economy. I would hope that this body can use the same bipartisan spirit to move the types of bills that are locked up in some of our committees that we know will create jobs for working families, that we know will responsibly and reasonably use our natural resources to rebuild our rural economy and to fight rural poverty. It's not too late, colleagues. We can still do the right thing by Oregon. We can still create jobs, and I hope we get there very soon.
Thank you, Representative. Further remonstrance, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to call your attention and the attention of our colleagues to an op-ed that was in the Oregonian today by Bob Reese, the president of Northwest Guides and Anglers Association. I think it's just an interesting perspective. There are obviously differing views on every issue that we tackle. But Mr. Reese in his op-ed does say Oregon has determined that water is available from the Columbia River during most winter months, when Oregon's fish protection rules do not limit new withdrawals. In 2008, the legislature adopted Senate Bill 1069, which in part directed $750,000 to study the feasibility of the Umatilla Basin Aquifer Recovery Project. In 2009, the state invested an additional $2.5 million in the midst of the recession, $2.5 million into this project, and the governor's 2009-11 budget included the use of lottery revenue proceeds to help in its funding. A broad coalition of the Umatilla water users is evaluating the path to capture winter water in a way that will not undermine fish protections. No new laws are needed for these efforts to continue. This win-win collaborative approach is the right path for the Columbia Basin. So I just want to make sure members had a chance to read that that op-ed in the Oregonian today. I think it's a thoughtful op-ed. Again, people can disagree, but I would point out that this legislature does have a track record of when issues are brought forward and when they are vetted. We can find a way that's win-win. We can find a way that works not only for ag, which I fully support, but also for the fishing industry, which I fully support. So I hope, Mr. Speaker and colleagues, I hope that we look at this issue in a way that is a win-win. It's a win-win for the fishing industry and a win-win for the ag people. We are capable of it. We've done it for the past several years and keep building on that process. But let's make sure whatever what we do, we're not picking a winner and a loser here. We're not adding ag jobs to lose fishing jobs. Let's make sure that we're adding jobs all over the state, because jobs are needed all over the state. And that's my only request as we go through these bills, Mr. Speaker, is that we do it in a way that is inclusive, not exclusive. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Representative. Further remonstrance? Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 11 a.m. Wednesday, February 15th, 2012.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 11 a.m. Wednesday, February 15th, 2012.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 11 a.m. Wednesday, February 15th, 2012. Without objection, the House is adjourned.